item 17, but Eric, you wanted to say something first?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Commissioners and Director, if I may. I just wanted to let you know I passed around the current hunt regulations pamphlet, which is almost expired. You're talking today about information that will go in the new brochure, and I mentioned earlier that'll be online next week, and then the hard copy is available by the end of the month. But I just wanted you to kind of, if you're not a hunter that often picks that up, just remind you that it exists. It's a great resource. There had been a request for maps for the game management units that we're talking about, and an easy way to kind of make the connections to what you're seeing on the screen to where we are in the state. And so in that document, you've got the full spread of the state and the GMUs by their number. You can tell what region they're in. And so I just thought it'd be handy to see that. We will be turning around really quickly after this meeting and producing the new one. And one of the final pieces that goes in are the final decisions you make today and a note from Acting Director Joe Storr that goes in the front inside page or so. So,
what's the print run?
I'm sorry?
What's the print run?
The print run. You know, I don't know if I know the number, but we cut it down. We've been reducing based on demand, and our plan is to go, just like the fish app, we're going to go to a hunt app, and so we're thinking that we will decrease production in future years a little bit to offset that, depending on the interest in the hunting app, and see, you know, we'll always need to provide some of this, but do you have a number?
A year, and so we're hoping to reduce that by half. Not this one, but maybe the next year if we have our app up and running. So,
do you have to run the Walmart TV?
They were at the front counter, amazingly enough. Yep.
Okie doke. So, moving up to item number 17, moose seasons. So, Dr. Harris, I will turn it over to you and for the next few items.
Thank you, Chairman Smith, members of the Commission, Rich Harris. Special species, moose, corn sheep, and goat seasons. We'll do with moose first. And all this material was presented to you in March. There are no real differences. I will focus primarily on the... Is this on? Can you hear me okay? Okay. On the hunting season recommendations. We're making relatively few changes, although the moose population, we believe, now is in decline. I'll go through that a little bit more after the initial presentation. This is just a map of the units in which we have been hunting moose for the past few years in northeastern Washington. This is kind of a, rather than show you the entire, you've got an example of last year's right in front of you right now, I just want to focus on the important differences. We found through our study that we were harvesting cow moose females in the area north of Spokane rather too heavily. That had been suspected for a number of years that harvest was heavier than further north. In part, the idea was to try to reduce the population there, to reduce the urban-suburban moose. That doesn't seem to have been effective in any case, but we think that that's probably putting too much pressure on the moose. So we are lightening up considerably on the antlerless or mostly female harvest north of Spokane. In our District 1 Colville area, we are making no changes at all, except actually increasing the number of bull permits in 121. It's a little bit counterintuitive. We believe the moose population is now in decline. However, we think it was bigger to start with than we thought it was earlier, and that paper is coming out soon. So, we don't mind the fact that hunters are continuing to take a number of moose. I think that ultimately that moose population is going to equilibrate at a lower number than they are now. I don't think that the number of moose we've had for the past few years is long-term sustainable, even in the absence of predators. So I think we just have to get used to a slightly less moosey world in northeast Washington. And so that's sort of the rationale for what we're doing. But because we think that we're on a roller coaster down, we want to know something about where it will stop. I cannot predict that at the moment. We certainly don't want to over-harvest to the point where we bring it down lower than it needs to be. And for that reason, we're really ramping up our efforts to understand and monitor and document the status of the moose population. Moose are difficult to count. I mean, it's not obviously difficult to see them, but they're one of the more challenging species. Probably white-tailed deer are the only large game species I can think of that poses more challenges to us than moose, to really knowing how many there are. It's very expensive to do what we've done in the past. We can't do it every year. So that's part of the reason that we are also suggesting that we move to a mandatory tooth submission. This is just a slide to remind me to tell you about the fact that knowing the ages of moose at harvest is part of the way that we can fit this into certain models that help us understand the trajectory of the population. So in the past, we have asked folks who harvest a moose to send back a tooth in this envelope. It's free. We're now proposing that we put that in the WAC as a mandatory. And a little bit of an update, since we talked last month in Wenatchee, I believe Commissioner Holzmiller mentioned that he'd like to see more teeth in the tooth WAC. And it turns out that I don't think we actually do need to change the wording. There is an RCW that actually says that if a WAC calls for the presentation of biological information, that therefore it is required under the RCW. So it is conceivably punishable by a misdemeanor if someone doesn't turn that in. I prefer to keep the wording as we've presented here. I don't want it to seem punitive or threatening, and I frankly doubt that any hunter would find themselves charged with a misdemeanor for not setting their tooth in, but we want them to know that we really take it seriously. We really want those data. So we're proposing to continue with this language. If the commission would like to edit that language, we're certainly open to that. But I think this is probably hitting the sweet spot of making it required but not threatening hunters more than is need be. And along with more closely finer scale management, as it were, of moose than we've had in the past, as we see the moose population decline, we want to be able to know if a permit is given out, if it will be returned with a female or a male. We've had this any moose category for a number of years now. Almost everybody who gets that permit wants to take a bull, and about 90% do, but it is legal to take an antlerless moose under that, or a female. That becomes a bit more of a concern as the population goes down. If we give out a permit for a male moose, we want a male to be returned. So we're proposing that we do away with the any moose category and replace it with the antlered bull only. And the question of those hunters who've been putting in for many years and accumulating points for an any moose, most of those are really interested in a bull anyway, so they would just simply get those points transferred over to the antlered bull category. So that's, we are continuing to propose that. We're also eliminating the master hunt for moose that's been in the Spokane area for a number of years. It was getting quite a bit underutilized. The Enforcement Division, which runs that program, has indicated to us that it's a much greater headache than it's worth. Largely the issue is that they rarely have a moose that's a good candidate for this situation, and when they do, they have to get on it right away, and the master hunter list that they get is a statewide list. It's rarely the case that they can make a good match between the situation that they're facing and a master hunter. Most master hunters on that list wind up calling us and saying, hey, I'm on the list, how come I'm not getting called? And the answer is because we've had 20 and then 10, but typically only have one per year, maybe two, in which that person is even called. So I think enforcement has advised us that it's best just to do away with it on the unusual situation in which they have to remove a moose lethally, that they go ahead and do that. And then the final part that actually applies to all of the once-in-a-lifetime proposals, but it's perhaps more, it comes up more often in moose than the other species, is this notion that because the once-in-a-lifetime species is a two-step process, unlike elk or some other species, you only pay the expensive part if you are lucky enough to be drawn. Initially, you just pay a relatively nominal application fee. Then if you're drawn, you actually buy the license. That has allowed people to put in for a permit that they don't actually want for their kids and as a way of drawing points. And so this has allowed some people to have their youth hunters become hunting, they already have accumulated quite a number of points. Other people don't know about this system, and it's inconsistent with the other other hunts we have where you essentially have to, whether you're lucky enough to be drawn or not, you have to have the qualifications to do that hunt. This allows people to apply for a moose hunt before they've even had hunter education because they're too young to even be interested in hunting. So all we're suggesting now is that now you have to have hunter education before you can put in for these permits as well. We did, as I think I mentioned to you in Wenatchee, we did have some negative feedback from some hunters about that, but we've also had some support. So we think this is the right thing to do. Those youth who have accumulated those ghost points would, of course, keep them. They would be grandfathered in, but they wouldn't be allowed to accumulate additional points under this system. So this is the reason for that change in the WAC. So I ran through it quickly.
Thanks.
Questions?
Questions? Yes.
Silly biology questions, I guess. I recall you talking about how difficult the challenges of trying to do field surveys to get a handle on moose populations. What is their home range, and does it vary by gender? Do we have a sense of moose home range? Are they huge or...
what is the home range of moose? But they vary by gender. I don't remember the name of the square kilometer. They're not, particularly for females, they're not that large. Males are probably larger. We did not put any radio collars on males because we're focusing on the reproductive part of the population. And so I don't have recent site-specific. The issue is not their huge home range sizes. It's that they hide in the forest.
Yeah.
And that they are individual or single or in small groups.
Because what I'm thinking is, we do have quite an urban-suburban population of moose in my community. Is that something that could be used to measure population and trends?
In part. We are cobbling together a system that we hope will be able to get us reliable information without the incredible expense of doing what we did a couple of years ago to estimate population size, which we think we could do on a periodic basis, but not every year. And we are encouraging citizen science. We are using information when we can. A lot of the suburban information is not as useful because if someone tells us they saw a moose out there, living room window, we have little way to understand how much effort went into that observation. So it's just, yes, there's a what we are wanting people to tell us is, I was in the field for 6 hours or whatever, and I saw three moose, or I saw no moose. And where we've had difficulty with our citizen science element is getting people to tell us when they saw no moose, because that's seemingly no news.
Right.
But, of course, from an understanding the population basis, it's just important to know X amount of effort was taken and no animals were seen as X amount of effort was taken and some animals were seen. So we're struggling with that. But we are working with the citizen science application, and then we are also we will continue to do surveys, but we'll probably be focusing more on recruitment ratios to understand something about the expectation of new moose coming into the adult age group.
Also sort of silly observation, but the tooth requirement, it might improve our compliance with biologic checks, the voluntary biologic check stations, because although I think probably every successful moose hunter stops at a biologic check station, but nonetheless, I recall a moose hunter who came in and was delighted that we were going to take the tooth for him. So we can promote biologic check stations. We'll take the tooth for you.
Yeah, there are a few check stations. In fact, that was something we looked into early on, but they're not. They're, I think, particularly on weekends only.
Exactly.
And over the past few years, we've only gotten a handful of moose coming through those. So we didn't think that would be giving us sample size that would be meaningful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Are there any moose west of the Cascades?
A few, and it's unclear whether they're making a stand or not. There have been reliable observations, pretty much just right on the crest of Rainy Pass in the North Cascades National Park. It may be that they will come over. Long term, I wouldn't expect to see a population. They've never historically been west of the Cascades.
That was my
question. No. Historically, it's terra incognita for moose historically. So it would be new. And moose are a pioneering species. Occasionally, you will find them exploring new areas. My best guess is that it's overall just a little bit too warm. I think they're not well adapted to temperatures that mild, and so I think you'll get some moose showing up. I would be surprised if we really get a thriving population west of the crest, west of the Cascades.
That answered my question. Okay.
We're ready.
I move to amend WAC 220-412-080 and WAC 220-415-070 as presented.
Motion's been made. We have a second.
Second.
Mr. Keeney seconded it. Further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Thanks, Rich.